I trust that you had a good week this week. I hope that you've gotten things accomplished that you wanted to get accomplished and had a overall good week. It seems like the weeks just get busier and busier, getting ready for spring break. Or I know my son Walker, he starts spring break Monday, so he's excited to not have to go to school. I'm going to take a few days off of work, and I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. So I'm ready to be off for a few days and hopefully get some needed sleep in. So I'm praying that the babies get better sooner than later and don't give me whatever it is they got. That's what I'm hoping for. We're going to start our talk and teaching on doctrine of prayer. It's one of the most neglected doctrines that I believe is in the Bible. We don't talk about it very often, and most people don't even look at it like it's a doctrine, but it is. It's a set of beliefs that we believe, right? Definition of doctrine is principles of truth taught by Christ and His apostles. So if it was taught by Christ, it's a doctrine, right? Amen. Y'all going to get with me before it's over with. I'll wake up here in a minute and we'll be ready to go. By the law of first mention, we find the first time prayer is mentioned in any form is in Genesis chapter 12. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 12. Genesis 12 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." Verse 13, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." The first time we see prayer in the Bible, Abraham is making a plea to his wife. The last time the word is mentioned in the book is in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. I know when we do these studies, we do a lot of back and forth, but I want you to see it if you can hang in there. If you can't, write them down, look at them later. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." The last time we see the word in any form is by the saints in heaven, right before the destruction of the heavens and the earth. So prayer is communication with God. Women are better at prayer warriors than men. Would you agree with that? I've come to find over the years, if you need somebody to pray for you, you'd almost be better to go to a lady to do it. Why? Men are too busy. It's the nature of it. Should you be that busy? Probably not. But you get so consumed with work and your daily life and just going on and on and on that a lot of times you forget about what you're supposed to be doing. Men are mostly single task kind of people. You want to do one thing and you just kind of do that thing until it's accomplished and you go do the next thing. For the most part. Now that doesn't mean you can't multitask to an extent, but you kind of get your mind going one direction and you stay that one direction. Women are completely different. They can do 100 different things at one time. That's what makes y'all so special, right? Y'all also don't forget things very much. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? y'all say amen because y'all been in trouble before. It's amazing what my wife can remember that I cannot remember. I found this out too just over years of being married and being in ministry and things like that. My wife can remember a lot better details than I can. All the details. If somebody says something, she's got the details down. And she asks the right questions. If somebody walks up to me and asks me something, I'm like, okay. What do they say about this? I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't go past the, you tell me whatever you're going to tell me, and if you don't tell me anything else, okay, it's over. I don't ask any more questions. Leslie's different. What about this part? And what about this person? And what about this situation? She asks all the questions. They're just better at it than we are. But that makes them better prayer warriors than we are. Now, it shouldn't always be that way. That doesn't give you an excuse to not pray for people, okay? That shouldn't make you sit back and go, well, the women got it handled. No, you should handle it too. But I'm telling you right now, if you really want something done, you better go talk to a woman, because I guarantee you she'll do a better job at that than you will. I've had some old ladies that have just been phenomenal prayer warriors over the years. Miss Memory Utley, I got called to preach at a church in North Carolina. I was there singing with the Anchorman, and I went to a revival, and a guy from Florida had come up to preach at Brother Bobby Utley's church. And God had been dealing my heart about preaching, and I remember when he got up there and started preaching, I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And I went up to that front of that little church, and I had been to that church all of my life. We used to go up there every year. My dad would go up to their little camp meeting thing they would have every year up in the mountains of North Carolina. And Brother Bobby was a great preacher. Brother Bobby was different. He didn't know how to read when he first started preaching. And when I mean he didn't know how to read, like he could not read at all. So what he would do is he would get Miss Memory to read the Bible verses for him to preach. He'd put his sermons together. Now you're talking about a team. That was a team right there. Now he was still the preacher. He's still the man. She wasn't doing nothing but just reading the scripture for him. But because he couldn't read, she'd read it for him. But he'd talk about studying. He'd say, I'd get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, have something on my mind. I have to wake Memory up and say, hey, read this for me. And she did it. She was faithful. She was faithful to that. But I've never seen anybody could pray like that woman could pray. She was different from any other lady I'd ever met. Because here's what she'd do. And it used to, when I was a teenager, it'd terrify you in a way. I remember going to that church and telling her, pray for me in this situation, or pray about this. And, usually when somebody says, hey, pray for this, you say, okay, and you go on about your day, right? Then you'll pray about it later if you think about it. Or you might pray about it right then to yourself, or you may just forget about it if you really want to truly be honest about it. But whatever it is, however your situation, Miss Memory's different. If you say pray about it, you're going to stop right there and pray about it. If you walked up to that woman in a church and said, hey, pray about this situation, well, come here, honey, she'd grab you. And you're going to pray about it right there in the middle of everybody. It didn't matter what was going on. She'd stop you. She's been known to go in Walmart and be shopping, and somebody in their church come by and say, hey, Miss Memory, would you make sure you pray for my kid? She's sick. And right there in the middle of Walmart, just pray. That's how she was. For all of us to kind of be like that, where prayer actually meant so much to us, and it was so important that we would actually stop everything we're doing and just pray for people. You see, we get too busy. We get too caught up in the things of this world, and we kind of forget about praying for other people. We act like it's not as important as it really is. We've gotten into the day and age where prayer is just something that you just do. We get too formal with it. You get done singing your songs, and you pray, right? And then you get ready to preach, and you pray, right? And then you get ready to eat, and you pray, right? And before you go to bed, you pray, right? You see, it's all just formal. But do you actually mean it when you do it? Do you actually really think about what you're saying? Or is it just going through the whole scenario? Oh, we're fixing to eat, so we got to say our blessing. Dear Lord, bless this food, help and nourish our bodies, hands of service. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us today. Amen. Come on now, that's what it sounds like most of the time, don't it? You'd be better off to just not pray at that moment in time if you don't even mean it. All you're doing is trying to make sure everybody else in the restaurant knows you a Christian. That hurts your feelings, don't it? That's what you do. You sit there and you pray for your food in the restaurant. Most of the time you pray and going, they'll think I'm so spiritual. What about them people that get up and pray in church? You've heard them, haven't you? Oh, Father God. What you praying for? Everybody look at you? Think you're more spiritual than what you really are? That's all it is. It's just words coming out. It's just so that you sound intelligent, right? I've heard him pray. I remember being at Victory for all those years. And man, you'd have Bible students all over Victory. There was Bible students everywhere in Victory. Especially when my dad was in Bible school, there was a bunch of them. All of them preachers and all this kind of stuff. And man, you'd hear them. They'd get up and they'd pray. And you'd hear them get up. And they would always try to be more intelligent. And they'd try to preach a sermon in their prayer. Every time. It's like they had to compete against each other. Which one was going to be better at it? When in reality, it was just trying to show off a little bit. Prayer didn't mean a whole lot. It was just a bunch of show off. Is prayer like that for you, or do you ever get real with God? You ever just get real with Him? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5. Well, you don't have to turn there. You know it. It's called pray without ceasing, right? The Bible says pray without ceasing. This is a command from the Apostle Paul. Paul is commanding us to never stop communicating with God. A lack of communication leads to a lack of holiness. That's a pretty profound statement right there, even if I did come up with it, amen. A lack of communication leads to a lack of holiness. You see, we always want to be holy, right? We want to be more like God. That's what we say. But to be more like God, you have to communicate with God on a daily basis, right? And you have to truly communicate with Him, not just throw up some vain repetitions. You actually have to talk to God. That's what I say when do you ever just really get real with God? Do you have that time and place where you sit back and you go, I'm going to get along with God, and I'm just going to talk to Him? You know, because that's when there ain't nobody else around to watch you do it. How does it look there? Now, me and my wife have talked about this a lot, and we go back and forth with it. There's times when you really just get along with God. There's times you just sit down and you're praying and you're asking God for certain things and to fix this situation and to change this thing. But there's times when you sit back and you go, okay, God, let's just talk. And it's better when you say, just let me listen for a little bit. When's the last time you had one of them moments? When's the last time you actually sat down somewhere, away from everything and away from everybody, just for a little bit, and said, just talk to me, God. Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me what I need to change. Fix me. Fix me. I love turkey hunt. Turkey season's coming up. Amen. Some of us have started earlier than others. It's all right. I would have. I wouldn't have had to work. I ain't even going to lie to you. I was trying to figure out how to make Walker shoot a 3.5-inch 12-gauge yesterday. If I could have thought of a good way. And I kept thinking if I just laid it over his shoulder a little bit, it would, you know, he's still involved. But no, I think of turkey season coming up. And first day of turkey season, I always go with my cousin. And we've been hunting together since he was 12. I called his first bird in for him. He killed it. And ever since then, I've been calling birds for him, and he never lets me shoot. It's just the way it works, I guess. But I go hunting. First day of season, we always go. So I'm looking forward to Saturday being able to go. But I know that through the year, I tell my wife, I'm like, I'm going to go by myself a handful of times. And everybody thinks, well, you're going by yourself because you want to shoot them. Really, that's not the whole idea. I love to shoot birds, okay? Everybody likes to kill them. Everybody likes to eat all that good stuff. I like to work the bird. I like to call the bird. It's the challenge of the hunt. Being able to call, being able to get them as close as possible. I love all that part. But there's been many, many years that you go hunting and you're out there and you're calling and you're doing all these different things and you're trying to get the birds to work right, and guess what ends up happening? You hear nothing. And you get those moments when you're just walking around and you're just kind of thinking, and those are some good times alone with God right there. Those are the times when you sit down by the big pine tree and you just kind of just say, okay, God, what about me? What do I need to do next? What do I need to change, God? This ain't about fixing this situation. This is not about praying that you take the sickness away. This isn't about something that I need done, God. This is just me and you. Getting alone with God. Getting alone with God. Having some true communication with Him. Kind of goes back to your wife and your relationship, right? If you never communicate with your wife, it's probably going to be a bad relationship. You have to communicate. You have to talk to each other. You have to know what's going on in each other's lives. If you want to have a good relationship with your children, what do you have to do? Communicate. You have to talk to them. I sit back and my son gets home, and I know my son's 4. He don't know what he did 5 minutes ago. You know, he's all over the place. But I sit down and I sit there and I ask him, what'd you do at school today? I play with Chelsea, because that's his best friend. I play with Chelsea. Okay, well, what else did you do? We gathered rocks because we were making a volcano. What did you do that was important in school today? Did you learn anything? Yeah, we learned letter T. Well, that's good. At least you got something out of it. You know, he forgets about all those parts. He's all boy. He can't help it. School is not his favorite thing. But you sit down and I want to communicate with him. I want to have a relationship with him. I sit down with my daughter. Y'all can't understand her, but I can a little bit. I sit down. What do you do? She'll go off on something. Play with Rusty Raccoon today. Okay, well, you know what? She wanted to talk to me. It's communication. It's building a relationship. Why do I want to build a relationship? Because she's going to be 18 one day. Don't say that. She's going to be 18 one day. I don't want her to go to everybody else for advice. I want her to come to me. I want her to know that she can come to me. I want my son to know that he can come to me. Talk to me about some stuff. We live in a society now where everybody goes to everybody else, right? Why? Because you don't communicate with your children very well. I'm just getting real with that a little bit. Just throwing that out there for you. You want to see your kids succeed later on in life, you better start communicating with them now. I know I'm a relatively new parent. Some of y'all have already done it. That's the one thing my dad told me, though, when my son was born. He said, I hadn't done everything right. He said, but I always tried to let you know that you could talk to me about anything and it would be okay. And he did that. I never had a problem communicating with my dad. Now, there was times I thought he was going to kill me, but I could always communicate with him. Didn't mean you got away with everything. But I knew my dad would listen to me. If you want to have a relationship with God, you've got to communicate with Him. You have to stay in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Where do we need to pray? Where do we need to pray? First Timothy 2 and verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Now, what do you think that means? Everywhere. Ain't that so amazing how the Bible just explains itself so well? It says, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Kind of goes back to that Miss Utley thing, right? If you want somebody to pray for you, pray for them. You know, it kind of goes back to the person asking for it, too. Do you really want prayer? There's a whole lot of us that ask for prayer, don't we? At certain times in our lives, we ask for prayer. There's been certain times in my life I've asked for prayer. But do I truly want that prayer? That's a little different when you start thinking about it in that way. Do I really want that kind of prayer? Because, you know, Miss Utley can make you uncomfortable. You're sitting at the restaurant and you're sitting there talking, and I remember my mom talking to her in a restaurant back when I was a kid. We'd went out to eat after the conference, and she said, John got called to preach, and I am terrified. I don't know where this is going to lead, but I am terrified. And she said, Miss Utley, will you just pray for me? Come here, honey, right there in the restaurant. Oh, God, please help her. I mean, she's loud, too. She's one of them old mountain women, man. She was loud. She's just, you know, she's one of them ones they talk about just snatch God straight out of heaven, you know, down there with you. Hey, she's one of them kind of people. When she got with God, boy, it was real. And I remember her doing that with my mom, and my mom sitting there going, oh, Lord have mercy. You got to understand, my mom's I'm introverted. My mom is like a whole other level introverted than I am. I mean, she can get up here and sing, but if you ever notice, y'all might notice if you ever see her again sing, but she doesn't move. She just kind of stays right there. She's terrified. She gets scared to death. So when Miss Utley did this, it just shocked her. It just blew her out. She didn't know what to do. But the Bible says pray everywhere. Pray everywhere. When do we need to pray? So where do we pray? Everywhere. When do we pray? Turn to Psalms 55. Psalms 55 and verse 16. Psalms 55. Verse 16, the Bible says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Sounds pretty often, don't it? Evening, morning, afternoon. I guess you can pray whenever you want to, can't you? He pretty much covered the whole day, didn't he? He didn't say before breakfast and before lunch and before dinner. He said evening, morning, and afternoon. He covered the whole day. So when should you pray? Whenever you want to. Anytime you want to pray, pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It's a mindset. We've talked about that before. It's not about having to get on your knees and sitting there and just taking all this long, elaborate time. It's just staying in a state of mind of prayer constantly. Thinking about the things of God. Letting them run through your mind. Letting them just take over your life. You want to be closer to God? Pray to Him. I'm all about reading the Word of God. I'm all about studying the Word of God. And those things are very important. But the communication comes through prayer. The communication comes through prayer. I've said it many times. You can come down to this altar right here. This ain't, you don't have to. Shocker, right? You don't have to come down here. But you know what it takes to come down here? Humility. When you go before God, do you go humbly? You ever thought about that? When you get on your knees before God, do you actually act like it's God? Or do you act like I'm going to tell Him something? That's how we pray. God, fix this. God, change this. God, help this. Not, God, I love You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sin. No matter what the situations are, there's times to pray for certain specific things. And you know I'm all for it. We've prayed for Brother Dave, we've prayed for Brother Tim, we've prayed for we've prayed for everybody. And we've done specific things where we bring them up here and we pray for them. Why? Because I think that's unity. That's the thing where the church comes together and you unify as one body saying, hey, we are specifically praying for this situation and we want it to change. I want it to change. I want them to be healed. But I also want whatever God's will to be done, however that looks. I want whatever God wants to have accomplished out of that to be accomplished. You see, I believe God puts you in certain situations for a certain reason. I believe I worked at a hospital for a certain reason. Not just to stick people with needles. Reese, no, don't do that. It was so that I could see people at their worst and see how they react to things. It was also one of them things where I got this different point of view where you see somebody going through cancer or whatever situation they were going through, and you realize that they get to be a witness to somebody that's helping them. There was a Baptist preacher out of Dothan that was in Baptist South. He was having some kind of neurological thing. He was on that floor. And I don't know all the details because I couldn't know all the details. So he was in that part of the hospital, and it was messing with his mind, and they were talking maybe there was a tumor there and all these kind of different things. And he was in the hospital for probably about a month. Now, I remember going to his room and saying, I got to get blood. And the course of time, you're going to stick somebody that many times, you're probably going to talk to him just a little bit. And through this process, I found out he was a Baptist preacher from Dothan. And I'd talk to him a little bit, and we would talk back and forth about Bible and different things like that. And every time I'd get ready to walk out the door, just keep on preaching it, son. Just keep on preaching it, son. And I asked him one morning. I walked in there early. It was probably 3 o'clock. He's sitting up reading his Bible. I said, brother, I said, it's early to be reading your Bible. He said, well, I'm hurting and I ain't got nothing else to do, so I'm going to sit here and read. He said, I figure God wants me to. He said, that's probably why he's making me uncomfortable in this bed. So he's just reading. And I said, why do you think God puts you in this situation? I said, does that ever like cross your mind? Because it crosses my mind a lot why God would put certain people in these kind of positions. And he said, well, you know, yeah, I've thought about it. He said, and I thought about it the first couple weeks I was put in here. He said, and then I realized why I was here. I said, why is that? He said, because that nurse that worked on me that first couple of days, she's lost and dying, going to hell. I said, well, all right then. I said, how'd you know that? He said, because I just point blank asked her, was she going to hell? I said, I don't know if I'd have done it that way, but you do it however you do it. He said, I had liberty to talk to her a lot because she was having to take care of me so much. He said, I did. I asked her. I said, do you know where you spend eternity if you died right now? She said, no. He said, I gave gospel to that young nurse. She got saved. He said, I'll take this for that. He said, that may have been the only reason why I was here. So have you ever thought about your situation that you're going through might be what God needed to happen? So you can pray to change it all you want to, but it may not happen the way you want it to. Maybe you ought to change your prayer life just a touch. Maybe you ought to ask God, hey, take this away from me if you will, please, Lord. Change the situation, God. You know, Jesus prayed that. So it's okay to pray it. It's okay to say, hey, let this cup pass from me. You know, I think it's fine to say, God, heal me and fix this and do this. But then why don't you say, but God, if you don't, show me what you want me to do in this situation. Do you truly communicate with God, or do you just kind of just go through the motions? I want to truly communicate with God. I want to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be in prayer as much as possible. And the last thing we'll talk about this morning, how do we need to pray? Romans 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We cannot pray wrong because we cannot pray right. It's not by my wisdom and word, but the Spirit of God that fixes my words. You can't pray wrong if you wanted to. You accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You have somebody that is in between you and God, right? And that ain't the Pope. Okay? It ain't the temple. It's Jesus Christ. He's making intercession for you. You know why? Because God, they don't always know what they need. But I know what they need. Man, wrap your mind around that just a little bit. I did this study a long time ago. I put all this stuff together. Had to write a big paper on all this stuff doctrinally. And I put this stuff together a long time ago. But I was looking through it this week and I was like, man, that's different when you look at it that way. I can't even pray wrong. Why? Because God fixes it for me. I can be selfish in my prayer and God say, Jesus Christ goes, no, God, this is what He means. This is how it needs to happen. He's making intercession for you. He knows what you need all the time. You need to pray. You need to have communication with God. You need to do it on a daily basis. Charge you this week. I've done it before. I still think you ought to be reading your Bible every day. Okay? You still need to study a little bit. If you've been reading your Bible for about a month, start studying it. If you don't know how to study it, read it till you learn. You've studied for tests, right? Raise your hand if you study for a test. Yeah. Okay. Good. Make sure all y'all went to school. Everybody studied for a test. That's how you study the Word of God. Pick something out of it and just study it. Pick out doctrine. Pick out prayer. Pick out something. Pick out love of God. Do a study on the love of God. If you've been reading more than a month, you ought to study it. But this week, pray every single morning when you wake up. Not for all the situations. Okay? Pray about those later on in the day. Pray that God fixes things and people aren't sick. Pray for that later on in the day, okay? But if you don't pray on a regular basis, get up in the morning, the first thing you do, and just talk to God normally. Just talk to Him. Ask Him to fix you. Ask Him to fix your prayer life. And watch how it changes you. Watch how it changes your mindset. Just ask Him to help you. It ain't got to be for a bunch of different things. It ain't got to be for very long. I will tell you this. The longer you do it, the longer your prayers get. The longer that communication gets between you and God. I used to sit there and I'd hear these people talk about, pray for an hour and a half. How do you pray for an hour and a half? Now I get it. I completely understand it now. You don't have to pray for that long. Just ask God to help you. Ask God to be with you. Do that this week and see how it changes your life. See how it changes your day-to-day life. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Scott, close us out, please.